we are driving out of the Hollywood and Highland parking structure in Hollywood, California, across the street from Disney's
El Capitan!
Wonderful El Capitan. Magical El Capitan Theater.
Home of Dolby Atmos.
Atmos?
Atmos. And the magic show. I gotta say, if you're in LA,
I don't want to be
some
a good
of you
man.
Are. You gotta see a movie like this. You gotta see it at the El Capitan. You're cheap, I know it costs a little bit more.
You're cheapening your experience if you don't. Yeah, it's a simple fact.
You get everything. Just skip the first 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
So you don't get the radio guy coming out and ruining the whole movie for you.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's talk about that before we get into Oz the Great and Powerful. Okay, so El Capitan, they're always great at the pre-show and fun things that they do beforehand. Most recently, there was a great one when Brave was at the theater and all the characters came out in kilts. And then for Wreck-It Ralph, you got to wreck stuff on stage and they called you up.
That was fun.
And tonight, they had a magic show before Oz. But before the pre-show, there's a pre-pre. And the pre-pre's a raffle.
And the guy, some Disney radio guy, decides to start doing trivia. And not trivia of, like, Wizard of Oz or Disney trivia. He's doing Oz the Great and Powerful trivia.
Now, keep in mind, this is the first show. This is the first show. It's an 8:30 p.m. Thursday evening show, right? So no one's really seen this movie. Although people have read about it, seen trailers, blah, blah, blah. Granted, they throw a spoiler-laden trivia contest. And I have seen the movie. And I was feeling very badly for you and our friend Josh, who hadn't seen the movie.
It, to be fair, it wasn't that big a deal.
It was pretty big.
It was just like, how does he arrive in Oz? Oh, he has this. How does this happen? Who is this person? And you don't know these things. And there's some, I mean, granted, there's some twists and turns but you kind of see them coming, but. It would have been nice not to have any of that.
Yeah, and it would be nice. It doesn't matter if you see them coming. It's nice to have them unfold the way the storyteller's designed.
Exactly. Oh, I don't want to die! I haven't accomplished anything yet! Please!
But, it wasn't all bad. Let's not rain negativity constantly. There was a wonderful magic show.
It was great.
I can't remember his name. Greg Alakazam. I don't remember what the guy's name was.
His parents were a magician.
Stiller.
He's been in the racket since he was five. He showed us pictures. He did some mesmerizing feats.
Some actually really cool tricks. I still don't see. I always watch that trick with the girl in a box getting sawed in half and her feet's moving on one end.
It's crazy.
It's like, I don't know how they fit two people. Because that's clearly what they're doing. There's two different people now.
It's crazy. It's magic, Eric.
It's clearly magic.
Don't try to figure things out when they're unfigure outable. So then, we get launched into, and we saw the new Iron Man 3 trailer.
Let's go off a little bit. I am not the world's biggest Iron Man fan.
Same here.
Did not like 2. Really, really didn't like 2.
I like the Stark Expo sequences.
I know you did. And I did like 1, but I thought 1 had some problems. But, so this is the first time 3. But the beauty of 3 is that we're not Favreau'd anymore.
Oh, yeah.
We're freed from the Favreau.
Overrated. Don't care what you guys think. That's what I think. Overrated.
Me too. I'm with you. But really cool sequences. I'm really pulling for Pepper Potts to die. Please, please, please. I don't know.
Let me just get this straight. There's a scene in that trailer where she's like getting her clothes, like they're stripped. She's stripped to a sexy, battered look.
I don't know. Sexy is.
I'm saying that's what the design is, but.
I think she's the weak link in that
whole
series.
She's weak.
But whatever. You know what?
I'm confused.
Ben Kingsley, who seems to be in every movie, is suddenly in this movie is a villain looking cool.
I just want to say, I'm wondering if there's something going on, because he has a cool sort of accent. But you notice in all the trailers, and you see more of him in this, but they never show him talking. You only hear him talking, and then you cut to right after he spoke. It's like, why won't they show him actually speaking?
Wait till you see it. Wait till you see him.
Does he talk out of his eyes?
Maybe.
Or his nostrils? The voice comes out of his nostrils.
I don't know. That's what you're saying. But that's not really what we're here to talk about.
No. So then we go into Oz and
The Great and Powerful Oz.
And I'm a big fan of this movie. It's my second time. I'm going to see it a third.
Second time I'm going to see it a third. I don't think I could see this movie again. It's not that I didn't like it. I did like it. I just thought it... It's hard to put a finger on it.
I'm surprised here.
I mean, I thought Franco was great. Very likable, interesting character.
Am I dreaming?
The witch is interesting. God, Finley, the monkey. Lots of
so easy, characters. So easy to have hated that character.
Yes, yeah. And, We've seen that done horribly before.
And it was done, I don't know how Raimi pulled it all together, because this is every reason to not be good, and every reason to be another Alice in Wonderland.
Well, and again, context, we are not Alice in Wonderland fans. I really didn't like Alice in Wonderland.
Same
it was
here.
So boring.
Oh, it's among Burton's worst, with Planet of the Apes and Dark Shadows.
But, the thing that kind of bothered me, this is not a nitpick, but it's also not enough to have broken the movie for me. But I definitely found that the one thing it didn't have in common with Alice is that none of it felt real.
Oh.
It all felt like I'm watching guys on a green screen, and this is all CG that's going to be filled in after the fact.
I don't know why. I know.
Like we both didn't like The Hobbit, but I would never say The Hobbit felt fake. Hobbit always felt like this stuff's really happening. These things are really here, even if I didn't like them. And this just didn't. Like,
I just
when he
feel
first
like,
arrives in Oz, and he's like,
see, I like
around.
All that.
But it's like he's standing around, and you know exactly what that shot is, because you've seen it behind the scenes the whole time.
But my mind went with it, because I'm so invested in the characters and the story at that point, and the music, that it's just like I get taken away. So it's like, if a movie's not working like Alice, then I focus on that stuff. But when it is, then I could forgive it, and it's like, okay, we're here, we're in Oz. If they say so.
I mean, it's not like I was taken out of the movie. I just wasn't brought. I wasn't sitting there saying, "Wow, this is amazing! What a cool design! What a great world!" Da, da, da. I was like,
and
I'm
still
watching,
I still argue your Alice comparison, because there's a lot of scenes when it cuts to the close-ups that they're on sets, much more than Alice, where it really does feel like what you're talking about. I mean, when they're walking on the Yellowbrook Road and all that, that's all real. And
when he's walking on the Yellowbrook Road with the monkey going to the dark forest, no, it didn't feel real at all. It felt like, yes, he was walking on a road. Didn't ruin the movie.
And Finley's amazing. I mean, like, I
but
don't
that's
think
the thing. He was really good. Yeah.
And China Girl's amazing.
Yeah.
She's the heart of the film. I mean, I don't know. Like I just said, I don't know how anybody walks out of this movie and doesn't want to buy 3 China Girl dolls. I speak from experience.
Because you're loaded, so you can do that.
I'm not loaded.
Now, let's talk...
I just like her a lot. I think she's the heart of the film.
It's the Emerald City. You are here at last, and the prophecy shall be fulfilled.
Here's the biggest problem I have with the film. It's kind of boring.
Oh, no. I disagree. I object.
But it kind of goes from one exposition scene to another. And it's not like there's action sequences that happen in the middle. And, I can live without action sequences. I'm a big Dark Knight Rises fan, and people will tell me to the end of days that there's nothing happens in that movie until the last 20 minutes. But I disagree with them. But I just didn't find like anything. What are the actions? What are the action set pieces in this movie?
Oh, the action set pieces.
Other than the end.
Well, in the dark forest.
What happens in the dark forest?
They think there's a wicked witch. This is spoilers, by the way. Beware of spoilers.
You don't have to say spoilers, but like, what's the action sequence in there? The running? The escape?
Yeah, the escape.
Okay, so the 2 minutes of people running away
that's
of,
all
of
fun.
CG backgrounds.
That's all fun.
I don't know. To me, it's not fun.
To me, it was suspenseful. And we get, one of the things I really want to say that I like is that I love when the old Raimi shines through, and we get him a lot in this movie.
You do get those, like, some cool, like, weird zoom stuff, and there's a fight between witches.
And even when the wood's going through the balloon, it's amazing.
Yep, yep.
And the 3D, I had this idea a long time ago, and I want to be like that, but Raimi finally did something that I always felt like, why isn't anybody doing? And I should say that trailers have done this. Most notably, the stupid Despicable Me 2 trailer with the stupid minions.
Nothing wrong with Despicable Me.
And they're doing the blow thing, blow and the annoying, and then they hit him. But the blow thing comes into the black, into the letterbox.
Yeah.
And so they Raimi finally put it in a movie that's never been done in a movie. He had a reason to do it in this movie, and it just makes the 3D pop.
Well, I'm glad he learned something from Despicable Me. That's a good thing.
Oh God! And also the fact that that I did like the 3D in this movie, when they throw the spears. I mean, there's lots of good 3D.
There's some good 3D. I wouldn't say lots of good 3D.
It's the best 3D movie since Tron.
Nah, I don't know about that.
What would be better than this?
3D wise,
yeah.
I can't remember. I feel like there was another 3D movie within
like,
the last
I would,
year.
I normally out have, there. I normally would shy away from 3D. I go to the 2D when possible. And this is a movie I'd say people should see in 3D.
Yeah, sure. Well, you're gonna, if you see it at the Cap, you're going to have to see it in 3D. So, and you're going to see it at the Cap.
I would.
If you don't live in L.A. or California, you fly to L.A. and see it at the Cap.
Yeah,
so.
You really should. Yeah,
let's talk about the witches.
Okay. Well, you know how I feel.
How do you feel?
I am not a Mila Kunis fan. I don't think she's a good actor. I think that she's very overrated, and I think that she's got dead eyes and a soulless, uninterested demeanor. She's just always uninterested. You see her in a talk show, a red carpet, in movies. She just always feels like she doesn't want to be there. And it's no different here. She's the weak link, and thank God I love so... This movie's working on so many cylinders that do work that she, the one... It doesn't derail the train. Like, this one weak peg in the What am I trying to say? I'm so tired. In the railroad tracks.
Exactly.
There's one loose peg in the railroad tracks. It doesn't derail the train, but it's there. It gives you a little bump.
I don't have anything against Mila Kunis, but I'm not like, oh my God, Mila Kunis. I thought she was fine. I think her character develops in an interesting way, and again...
But it could have been so much more with it. I mean, you look at Williams and Rachel, even the talented
Rachel Weisz. I love Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, she
Rachel Weisz is an actress. Like, you watch
Mila Kunis
and you see
is out of her league. She's in over her head here.
Yeah.
And she's called upon to do things that are, like, you know, you need, like, a Jack Nicholson as the Joker-type performance in this role.
Yeah, I feel like she doesn't deliver on the goods that are set up.
And that's what it should have been and could have been, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know if... I feel like maybe I just would like... This is what I'm going to pretend happened in my head. A repeat of when Sony demanded Raimi put, Venom in Spidey. He didn't want him in there. And thus all the all the Venom scenes felt that way. And yet the Sandman scenes had the heart. So I feel like Disney's just like, no, you're casting Mila. She's the it girl. You got to use her. Figure it out. And he's just like, fine.
Speaking of it people... Let's talk about our favorite people, really. I mean, we could talk about Mila Kunis.
Michelle Williams, just want to say really quick, is magical in the movie.
She was good. Yeah,
always like her. She's perfect. And Rachel Weisz.
She really fits the role that she plays. She fits really well. And actually, I thought embodied that character in a lot of ways.
And I love the girl in the beginning. I don't know her name. I know her from Children's Hospital. Very pretty. His little flirty flirt in the beginning.
Oh, I don't know.
In Kansas. Is.
Yeah, but I don't know.
She's great. I just like her. She's, you know. She does a lot with a small part.
Speaking of small parts.
nice.
Let's talk about our favorite cast of characters.
Okay. Please tell me you gentlemen can fight.
No.
What we sing.
Guys, take five.
I love that there's actual little people in this movie. It's been too long since we've seen authentic little people and not shrunken hobbits.
Exactly. There was nothing worse. What was it? Was it Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, the Tim Burton, where he did miniature people?
They were all deep. No, oh, that was Deep Roy.
I just don't. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't see why we don't use the little people that are out there in the world for movies like this. And thank the heavens, Munchkins are back.
And they're great. And I don't know why Deep Roy wasn't in this movie.
Why wasn't Warwick? You know?
Yeah, because like you said, there's a character who's sort of like a lead Munchkin type, and Warwick would have been much better suited as that, or even Vern Troyer, as you said.
Vern Troyer just as an appearance. Vern Troyer, I think, is too small. I think he's smaller than Munchkin.
Yeah, I mean the guy. Let's face it, we love them all, but
he's the guy in the main role is my least favorite dwarf, but not necessarily a bad dwarf. You know what I mean?
And that's what I'm saying. This movie,
even the worst dwarf, is still a wonderful addition.
I'm just so happy for 2.5 hours when I watched this movie. There's little people. There's flying monk. There's China girl. And Franco. I got to be honest with you. I was never a big Franco fan. Now I am. I love his cat. I love Oscar Diggs.
He's got the
Bruce Campbell. That was just pillow talk, baby. Charm about him.
Yeah, I like it. But it has all that. Well, the problem I have with the movies, it has a lot of those cliches. And maybe it's just, I mean, again, I've seen too many movies, so it's hard to do stuff fresh. But it's like the cliche, oh, I can't do this, I have to run away. And then the scene where he gets talked into staying. And then the scene where he comes up with a big plan. And the plan is cool, and the way it's executed is cool. But it's all this stereotypical cliche shit you've seen over and over and over
again.
Like
in Army of Darkness, which is why I like it.
But you saw that
already. It's a giant. Raimi's back in Army of Darkness territory. I love it. I love this story.
I know this will probably get ire as well, but I'm Army of Darkness to me is by far a superior movie than this.
Oh, yes, of course. But I'm just saying that I like that this is sort of like a big, giant, big budget, $325 million Disney-fied Army of Darkness. I like that.
I could see it being like that, because it's homogenized in a way to be a Disney movie.
Oh, and did you even realize that, like, when I didn't realize this the first time I saw it, but when he goes into the tornado, it's the same... Okay, remember when... All right.
When he goes in the vortex or something like
yeah,
that?
Because when Strange Days came out, Angela Bassett fires a gun, and the gun goes... That's how she fires the gun. I swear, you can watch the movie. And so we were at the premiere. We were at the New York Film Festival. Cameron was coming out, and I went up to Mr. Cameron and I asked him, "Did Angela Bassett fire the Terminator theme?" And he was like, "Maybe subconsciously, but definitely not consciously." Which was an interesting and funny answer, but I think he was lying. And I'm going to say it again. In this movie, James Franco screams going into the tornado the same way Bruce Campbell. It's a no, 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 no! Three no's and a long no.
When you find next time you see him, you should ask him, did you have him say three no's to be like Ash? Yeah.
And also the, didn't it remind you of Ash with the arrows when he was saying, hold steady?
Well, I guess a little bit. I really didn't feel, you had told me it had an Army of Darkness vibe, and I didn't get an Army of Darkness vibe from this movie at all, other than the planning scene. When there's the montage of them building things in his giant head. And
I'm not necessarily saying vibe, I'm more than story beats.
Maybe that's why, again, I didn't love it. And again, not saying I didn't like it, just didn't love it.
I mean, even think about M. Beth David. She's the same thing happens.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah.
I mean, it's the same, it's great. I think that whoever's, I don't know who wrote Oz the Great and Powerful, but I think they just were...
Mitchell Draper.
Can we just do everything they did in Army of Darkness? That would be fun. Good for them.
Really liked how the movie opened. I had to turn to Chris because I thought something was wrong.
I love
like
that.
An idiot.
And I also...
And should have realized immediately what they were going for. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I love when Elfman actually tries. I mean, like when he cares and he gives... You can feel it. He gave a shat.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to have our boy Danny back.
Because... You know,
Danny dark, and Raimi again.
Oh, dark Shadows score and even the Frankenweenie score lacked the Elfman magic, as far as I'm concerned. And then I like when he kind of ventured off and took a break. Did Silver Linings Playbook. I like when he goes off on those tangents where you don't know it's Elfman unless you know. And then I think that refreshed him.
Take your word for it.
And I'm glad that him and Raimi made up, because there was a falling out with Spider-Man when they recycled the music. Right? Was it two or three?
It was three, right?
They recycled all the cues from two and one, and they didn't even, like, he was mad or something.
Well, he wasn't on the film. He didn't do scoring for the third film.
That was strange. So, Elfman's a guy who doesn't hold grudges, apparently, because he also had gotten into a fight with Burton.
At some point, money talks,
Ed Wood, and then he came
back. Disney's making all the movies now, so if Elfman wants to keep working...
Yeah, they really are making all the movies now.
Great wizard from Kansas. I've waited for you. To come and set things right.
So overall, I just want to say that I liked everybody in the movie, with the exception of Mila Kunis, and that's why I like the movie, because you're invested in the characters, and to me it doesn't even feel long. It's a long film, but I like it.
It is long.
I'm never bored of it.
I was a little bored, but not super bored. It does move. It just doesn't. It just keeps, like I said, just for me. To me, it felt like it went from, oh, let me tell you a little bit about this world. Move to, oh, we're going to tell you about this world. And I like that stuff normally. Okay. I want something else happening.
Oh, and one last thing really quickly. Since we're Raimi fans, that means we're Bruce Campbell fans and Ted Raimi fans. Theodore Raimi. And even though Bruce is in this movie, it's just sort of like a...
It's so weird.
He shows up to get punched three times and that's it.
He's in the movie for maybe 30 seconds and gets a huge credit in the beginning opening
sequence.
Which
is so interesting. And then Ted is credited, but you don't even know where he is in the movie.
He's in the beginning.
I've never seen him.
He's in the beginning. So the first 10 minutes of the movie, if you don't feel like you've seen Ted, then you won't see him.
Ted should have been featured as like the drunk clown in the beginning. I don't know why he wouldn't want him to be the
drunk clown. You can't miss Bruce Campbell, though. He's basically, yeah. He's,
yeah, it's fun, but again, like, why couldn't he be a bigger
role? What, there was no real role for him to have played.
But we see those guys more in the movie, and I was looking, and you never see him until that one scene. So why can't he just be the leader of those guys and see him more? Maybe
he's showed up for one day's work, not even a day's worth of work.
Fine. So anyway, there you go.
Well, let's get to our ratings. Let's do it. Remember, we do our 5-star.
Yeah.
Rating scale. I think I know where Chris is going.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 5. My first 5.
A 5? love this film.
I think it's a classic for the ages.
You just complained about Mila Kunis.
Yeah, I know, but I told you it didn't derail the train.
You think this is a classic for the ages?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I'm gonna watch it two more times.
What else is a five to you recently?
We're only going...
I want to know in the past, though. Let's put this context on this.
Okay.
Brave is a five, right?
Cabin in the Woods. Cabin in the Woods.
You think Cabin in the Woods and this movie are in the same league?
Wreck-It Ralph. I just like the movie. It gives me chills. I just want
to understand this.
No, there's different levels of a five. That's why we need more numbers. Five. I'm not a fan of the five.
It should just be a four is really what it should be.
We should have 20.
But I'm not going to tell you what your rating is. Your rating is a five. My rating is a three.
You're a three.
Yeah, I'm tying it with Jack. I actually think I had a better time with Jack.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Jack has its problems. I think
Jack has Giants. This has Munchkins. So you got to go with Oz.
With that logic, I think you might be right. I think I like the characters more in Jack. I like the story more in Jack. Even though that was a little straightforward.
Jack has Stanley Tucci.
Oof.
And this has Finley.
I love Finley.
Me too. Could have been horribly wrong, but no. It made it work. He made it work.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods, Wreck-It Ralph, and...
Oh, you're still back on the fives.
I'm just trying to think I'm just trying to make sure that I'm giving it a five, and I can say yes, I am.
Okay, well, then clearly you're a Disney guy.
No, because I didn't like Alice. I hated Alice. I would give a one.
Okay.
Just for comparison. So there you go, guys. Enjoy your trip to Oz this weekend.
Yeah, and I don't know. When will we see them next? I'm not even sure.
Oh, we're going to see Burt Wonderstone next week. We're going to see Burt Wonderstone a week from today.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yep, can't wait. So, enjoy two magic-type features in a row.
The magic's magic. March is the month of of magic.
Magic's hot right now.
You'll die!
Did those crows just say we're going to die?